Amen.
It's really good to see y'all out this morning.
Amen.
And this is an exciting thing to me. Anytime we look into God's Word, it's exciting. And
Amen.
It's especially challenging this morning with the 10-minute time limit. And I hope we're not, like, literal about that. I hope something doesn't happen to me if I go over 10 minutes, because that's kind of the challenge here. And I thought about how to meet that challenge, and I thought, well, I could prepare a 30-minute lesson and talk three times as fast. But I'm not sure I'm capable of that. So I did prepare now a few things to say in this passage here that we're going to be reading from Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39?
36 through
40. Okay, 36 through 40. That works for me. We'll read 42. Obviously, in a short lesson, we're only going to be able to hit some high points here. There's so much this contains, and it's kind of deceiving because it's such a simple thing, yet there's so much to it. But let's read together here. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now this is, like I said, this is deceptively simple. Love is what Jesus is preaching here, love. So what's the problem with the world? What's the problem with the church? And it's simple, isn't it? They don't understand, we don't understand sometimes, what love is. The world, you know, it's funny, it might be the most talked about subject in the world, and they don't get it. They don't know what love is. Everybody has a definition of love, but the love we're talking about is God's love, the love that only comes from God, that only God can give, and that's the agape love that we've talked about, which we won't go into in detail this morning. It would take too much time. If you want your life to count, and you do, I assume. I don't think any of us would be here. I want my life to mean something.
Amen.
I want my life to count. Then I need to, and you need to, make sure you are properly focused. Why is that the case? Well, because there's just too much. Too much going on. Too much in the world. Too many things happening. And you don't have enough time, I don't have enough time or resources to deal with everything. So I must focus on the things that I should deal with, that I must deal with. And we must realize when we're focusing here, and I think we do, not everything is of equal value. There are some very, very valuable things, and there are some things that don't have much value at all. And I think some of our problem in focusing is we get the things that don't have much value out of whack sometimes. And they get to be the things that we're focusing on. But we can't afford to do that. Amen. We should make sure to focus on the things of greater value. We need to devote our time and our resources to those things. You know, Satan will distract you. He distracts me. And sometimes he succeeds. Sometimes he, you know, he reminds me, you know, of my cats. Sometimes, you know, they're easy to distract. They'll be doing something annoying, you know, and all you have to do is say treats, you know, and they know what those are, right? And they're distracted. Whatever they were doing is gone. Well, Satan does us that way sometimes. He distracts us. He says treats, and whatever I was doing is gone, right? And I'll tell you, Satan's got some treats. Oh yeah, yeah. So he knows how to do it. But Jesus said, you know, that there's two things. And you know, I'm so glad that Jesus said that. Two things that are valuable, he said, because I don't have to figure it out. I'm not very good at figuring things out. So Jesus told me two things are important. And they're both love. Love and love, right? But you start with love for God. Aren't you glad he told us that? You know, it's important that you know on what to be focused. This agape love, the love of God. This is a love, well, I'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute. I'm already running out of time. Have you ever wondered why God didn't just take you to heaven when he created you? You ever thought about that? Why did he put you on earth for in the first place? You know, the world sometimes, what they say is, what is the meaning of life? The world bangs their head against the wall all the time, trying to figure it out. What is the meaning of life? What am I here for? And all of us are here only maybe 100 years. That might be pushing it in my case, you know, but maybe 100 years. But we're going to live for eternity somewhere. Amen. We're going to live for eternity in heaven or hell. The Bible teaches that. So why didn't God just take me to heaven before I had a chance to mess it up? You ever wonder about that? Some of you might have. And you know, I don't pretend to know anything of the mind of God save what he reveals in his word. That's all I know. And I know that I must be careful, and I'll warn you to be careful too. When you begin to question the mind of God and try to figure out why God does what he does beyond what he reveals to us, we need to be careful. But the Bible is very clear that God puts you on earth to do two things. You got that? We're back to it, aren't we?
Yes.
Pretty simple, isn't it? He puts you here to learn to love him. See, we needed time to do that.
Amen.
You know, a child learns to love their mother.
Yes.
And their father. And it takes time, and as time goes, the attachment and the love grows stronger. He put us here to learn to love him, and he also put us here to learn to love the rest of his creation and others that he created, and to learn to love them and serve them. You know, we get so confused. Life is not about acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The world says it is, don't they?
Yes.
You can't, we're bombarded with it. And I want some stuff, don't you? You know, and that's okay, but don't get distracted, okay? Remember what's on top, loving God and loving one another. And with that love now, maybe I should talk about that just for a second here, the idea of love. This kind of a love that God is talking about, it's not talking about an emotional attachment. It's talking about a decision that we make. We make a decision. We decide whether to love God or not. And I decide whether I'm going to love you or not.
That's right.
And the type of love that God teaches us here, it really doesn't have anything to do with you. It's a decision I make. And God tells me the decision I must make is to love you whether I like you or not. You understand what I'm saying? Whether I like the way you behave or the things that you do, I must choose to love you just as I chose to love him and just as he chose to love any of us.
Yeah.
It was his choice. It's something we can do, but we must choose to do it. So it's not about accomplishment or achievement in this life. It's not about all the things that the world tells us life is about. That's why people end up killing themselves. You know that? They get so confused that they don't know which way to turn. They've lost track of what's important. They've lost track and made it too complicated to deal with. It's not about those things. You're not taking your acquisitions with you. You might like your car or cars, but none of them are going with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your accomplishments, college degrees, not against that, good things, but they don't go to heaven with you.
No.
Doesn't count.
No.
Your achievements, the things of your career, that gets left behind too.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with these things. But they don't take the priority. The important things, love and love, is above it all. Because they lead us where we need to go.
Amen.
That doesn't mean love and love, actually it does. Love and love is all there is to it if you understand what that love entails.
Right.
It's not just a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
It involves some action and some doing.
Yes.
We're talking about your character. Character's going to go with you to heaven. We're talking about you, what you are, your essence, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That will go with you God put you on earth, like I said 100 years, well, maybe 80, okay, 80 to 100, maybe not that, you know, but, you know, that's pretty good, that's pretty good. But he put you here for that amount of time so that you can learn to love him. That's the meaning of life. Learn to love him with all your heart. Learn to love him and learn to love others. Life is one giant lesson in love.
Amen.
And I'm still learning it.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes.
You're still learning it. I haven't got it. But if I hope to get to heaven, I've got to learn it.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to leave you just with three. I'm just about done here. But I want to leave you with three things to kind of take with you and think about here. And then the lesson's yours. What are the things that you need to stop focusing on so that you have enough time to show love to others? Now this, I can't tell you. I could tell you what things get in my way. But you know what? Most of us are focusing on too much. And that's the problem. We're fragmented. Stop it. Figure out the things that you're focusing on that you need to quit focusing on. It doesn't mean you need to throw them completely away, but get your focus off of those so you can get on to the business of loving and serving others. And the reason I say loving and serving others, because and if you're not loving and serving others, you're not loving God.
Amen.
Right? Those two, you can't do one without the other.
Amen.
And are you making the most of your time on earth? How much time do you spend learning how to love like Christ? This doesn't happen by accident. You can't just walk around through life and wait for it to happen. You've got to spend some time and study and effort and recognize I am trying to learn to love.
Amen.
And make the effort to do it. It won't happen if you don't. You're going to be just like the world. You're going to love people that you like. You're going to have nothing to do with people that you don't like.
Amen.
That's the way the world is. Now, the third thing, and this is the last thing. If someone looked at your life, and you know people do.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, make no mistake. People look at your life. What would he or she say are the most important things to you? Think about that. I'm a little afraid that they might not say what I want them to say. They're going to say what they see, aren't they? Maybe I need to make some adjustments in my focus.
Amen.
That's all I've got, and I don't know how long I went, but I think Brother Johnson's next.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm not going to go through all of the lessons. I'm going to start off with Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 through 40 is a part of a series of questions asked by various religions groups who were seeking to entrap Jesus during his final weeks before his crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 30 include questions about paying taxes, and then they asked him about the resurrection. And all they are trying to trip him, well, they were trying to do is trip him up.
Yeah.
He answered because His answer caused the people to marvel and be admonished. Finally, the Pharisees sent in a lawyer to test him on which was the greatest commandment in the law. Jesus replied by offering two great commandments. The first pertained to loving God.
Yes.
That's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 38. The second pertaining to loving one neighbor. That's Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophecies. That's in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40. While we no longer live under the old law, these two great commandments are still very important to the Christian. They certainly have their counterparts in the new covenant. The commandment of God is just as important now as it was under the old covenant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19, and 1 John 5, 3. It is proper to ask, therefore, do we love God and our neighbor as we should? Or do we understand what is involved in loving God and our fellow man? Perhaps by reflecting upon these two great commandments, we can find the answer to such questions. First, Jesus addressed the commandment to love God under the old covenant. The Israelites was expecting to love God, Deuteronomy 6:5, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their mind, Deuteronomy 6:5. In today's term, it would say to love God emotionally, physically, and intellectually. Thus, they were to love God with their whole being, not like some who serve God emotionally while committing intellectual suicide. Someone who served God logically, but with no emotions, we find that today this would be listened as being a double-minded believer. The same thing we're talking about in James chapter 1, okay? Now we are to love God today. Does God expect any less of us? Of course not. We are to love God with all our heart. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 16:22, okay? Note that the use of the word philo, meaning a physical or worldly kind of love, a love built on affection, but with limits, okay? We are to love God with all our soul and body and mind, Romans 12:1-2. With all our strength, Hebrews 10:36. With all our mind, Colossians 3:1, Philippians 4:8. Jesus was saying, in this sense, still hold true, that we demonstrate our love for God through keeping His commandment. This is the love of God, 1 John 5:3. This is the evidence that we love Jesus, John 14:15. The command to love our neighbor is also ordered upon the Christian. We owe it to our neighbor to love them. When fully applied, it fulfilled what the law required, Romans 13:8-10. If the first three of the Ten Commandments speaks about loving God, then at least five of them of the Ten Commandments spoken to working no ill towards one fellow man. If one truly loves his or her neighbor, they would not be guilty of killing, adultery, stealing, lying, or covetousness. Although Jesus addressed the importance of loving our neighbor, the New Testament enhanced by an even greater need to practice not only philo love, but we have to expand our love towards our neighbor using love, using a new concept, agape love, meaning the love of God, a Christian for mankind, selfish love of one person for another without sexual implications, a love that is spiritual in nature. Jesus taught us to love one another, John 13:34-35. This new commandment takes our love to a higher level. No longer do we just love one another as we love ourselves. We must love one another as Christ loved us. Jesus used these two great commandments to show not only those who were trying to condemn him, but to show us today that he loves us with the greatest love, John 15:13. He became poor that we might be rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Thus no one can use low self-esteem or low self-love as an excuse not to love God or others as they should. So this whole thing is about agape love.
Amen.
Showing love towards one another. Being truthful to one another.
Amen.
Honoring your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Being good to one another. Going out there studying the word and letting others know about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what this is all about. And serving God.
Amen.
So this is about it. Well, I got my almost in.
Indeed, one day, if we live right on this time side of life, and if we're faithful until he calls us from labor to the other side,
amen,
we shall receive a crown that fadeth not away. What a challenge, 10 minutes. It reminds me of the little boy that asked his grandmother. He says, "Grandmother, what does it mean when the preacher goes like this?" "It means for everyone to stand up." "Well, what does it mean when he goes like this?" "It means for everybody to sit down." "Well, what does it mean when he looks at his watch?" And I'm like, "Bam." So I'm going to try to keep it to 10 minutes. And that is a challenge.
Amen.
But once again, just want to thank Brother Henry and Brother Johnson for those words to encourage our heart. And it is a challenge because we are just trying to keep the body, the believers here at this locale, motivated, stimulated, and on the right track. And you know, it's not a easy task. You know, sometimes it's a thankless task. But we do it because one day we know we're going to be called from labor to the other side.
Amen.
And so in this text here, Jesus, as he tells the people what they need to do, he uses two things. God has to be first and foremost in our lives. And I'm learning that when he is first and foremost in our life, everything else falls right into play. Does that mean you're going to have great times? Maybe. Does that mean you're going to have some difficult times? Yes. But what makes the difference is knowing who's in control of every situation in your life. That's why the believer must constantly exercise himself through the Word of God. The more he studies, the more he meditates, the more understanding he has. So when the difficult times come, he can look toward the hills like the psalmist said, which cometh his help. In Psalms 121 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and round about verse number 34, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophet." In John chapter 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." How? By the love we have for one another. So if we're going to change the world in which we live in, we got to have agape love with one another. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to look beyond your faults. That don't mean I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to look to get the best part out of you. And I'm learning that when we love one another the way God loved us, man, life will take on a whole new meaning. See, when you really love God, I don't need to tell you what time it is, do I?
No.
First day of the week roll around, how many of y'all need the alarm clock to wake you up? Don't raise your hand. Because you already should be woken up by the spirit that God gave you the night before. And so I want to encourage you. One of the hardest words, I believe, in our dictionary. And the reason why it's such a hard word is because we've associated this word with everything that goes on in the world. I love baseball. Football and apple pie. And so we've taken God's word and made it such meaningless that we love everything. There's some folks that like to be beaten. Did you not know that?
Yes.
You didn't know that? Yes. Stick around, I'll tell you about it. But I don't have time. But we've taken this word, love, and we have applied it to everything but what God applied it to. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have," what?
Everlasting
life. That's what this is right here. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I don't know about you, but when I stop and think about the love that God had for me, could look down the court of time and see an old wretched sinner like myself and said, he needs my son. Boy, thanks be to God.
Amen.
That's what motivates me. I don't know what motivates you, but I'm motivated by love. Because see, love kept him on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Love got him up out the ground 3 days later. See, when you really love somebody, it goes beyond the physical man. And I want to show you this morning that this word love here, we have taken so lightly. Because love is really about life.
Amen.
Amen. Let me show you something. 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 3 and round about verse number 10. I'll be through quickly.
Okay.
Nah, that's all right. When I say that one time, you know I got two other times to say that. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at what Peter says to the believer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and round about verse number 10. Peter says, for he that love life and will see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive or open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, life is more than just getting up and going to somebody's job.
Yeah.
It's more than just going and getting stuff that we have.
Yeah.
One day, you're going to stand before Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And when that time comes, and he places that CD, you know, or plug in your iPhone that you're so busy with, or that little that you spend all your time with, and he pulls it up and he can't find the Bible nowhere on it. Yeah, one day you're going to stand before him and he's going to ask you some questions. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was shut in, did you visit me? Let us not be like the disciples. Lord, when did we see you like that? Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of my disciples, you've done it unto me. See, life is more than just food, clothes, and raiment.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. They neither sow nor do their toil. Consider the birds. They don't gather like... I ain't got enough time to talk about the birds. But we got so much junk in our...
Yeah.
And maybe that's the problem. We have so much stuff stored up that it's affecting this thing right here.
Amen.
Life is more than food and clothing. Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse number 30, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else. Sufficient is the day for the trouble therein. See, life is more than food, clothes, and raiment. But see, when you understand what life is all about, it brings about obedience. Amen. You know, you ever wonder why life is like this? Huh? How obedient are you to God? See, because when you understand who holds the world in the hollow of his hand, then it brings about some obedience. Jesus was a perfect example of that. John chapter 6, verse number 38, Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was the Son of God, the Bible said he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. Boy, we don't like to suffer, do we?
No.
You know, that's why Wall Street come out every year with new stuff. Because they know we don't like to suffer. Just got a brand new washer and dryer, and they got one now that you can talk to, open up the thing and look in. And boy, we killing ourselves trying to get them. Life is more than that. Jesus learned obedience how? By the things that he suffered.
And as he learned obedience, guess what?
He received the victory.
Amen.
Oh boy, I don't know about you. When I stop and think about the victory I have in Christ Jesus, it just motivates me to do his will. The victory, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, what? Is not in vain in the Lord. I'm not here this morning because I don't know where I'm going. I'm here this morning because I know where I'm going. Amen. And somewhere down the line as believers, you got to have some confidence, some reassurance on what you are doing. Amen. Boy, some of us got so many pills in our closets. Got a pill to wake you up, a pill to put you to sleep, pill to turn you this way, pill to turn you the other way. Oh, I must be on the right nerves. The best pill I've ever found is right here in this book. And I'm learning that when you embrace God's word, church, you get a victory that surpasses understanding. And then you understand what eternal life is all about. But see, you got to learn how to love life. And then you got to understand that what Jesus is talking about here is an agape love that each and every one of us ought to be striving to achieve in our everyday life. Could you imagine for just a moment? Close your eyes for me for just a moment. And I want you to listen to my voice. Close your eyes. I know y'all have a hard time doing this, but you don't trust nobody. But close your eyes. Can you imagine the love that God had for mankind? And I want you to picture Jesus on the cross. They've reviled him. They've spoken against him. They've pierced him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Open your eyes. Could you imagine if we had that kind of love? Every time you come into contact with someone and they mistreat you or misuse you, could you imagine just saying, Father, forgive them? Oh, we have a hard time with that too. And finally, who is my neighbor was a question that was raised to Jesus. And Jesus talks about who his neighbor is. See, if we are to ever reach the plateau, I believe, that as Christians we ought to reach, we're going to have to learn how to love one another without any connection of anything. And I'm learning the only way you're going to do that is by getting in the Word of God. I want to leave you with a passage of Scripture. In Psalms 119 and round about verse number 97, I believe it's so important that when you talk about agape love, you got to understand that you got to love God with every drop of your being. And that's hard, isn't it? Especially for husbands. Because we have to share that love with our wives. We have to share that love with our children.
Thank you.
But agape love is we got to learn how to get it straight from God. And when we get it from God, guess what? I know how to love my wife. I know how to love my children. I know how to love you in spite of you. Amen. Why? Because of the agape love that was shown to me on Calvary. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and round about verse number 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the days. Through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for thy are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy have taught me. Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Amen. Do we really love God the way he loved us? Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage us and remind us, stay on track. Peter said, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But don't stop right there, because the next passage says, he resists them that are steadfast in the faith.
I want to challenge you as members of the body of Christ, stay on track. Keep yourself free from the love of this world and really understand that God requires you to go out here and make some neighbors. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I can't sit down without telling you something about my God. It's no accident that you're here. You might have been invited by a person, but really that invitation came from God.
Amen.
Through that neighbor. And they brought you here for this little old man to tell you something. And I won't be neglected in telling you what thus says the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says you must hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you. Paul said the gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What does it mean to obey the gospel? Or what do I need to do to obey the gospel? The Bible says you need to hear the word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you must believe that this is the inspired word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and in believing, you might have eternal life. The Bible says one must repent of one's sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5, tell you nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. And all of this brings us unto salvation. One is not saved until one goes into the watery grave of baptism. I know what man say, it's an outward sign of an inward grace, and it is. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. I want to encourage you, whatever your need might be. If you really love God, you got to ask yourself a question. Where will we spend eternity? And I don't know about you. He's promised us 70. I think I got about 7 more before the score is up.
Amen.
And I don't know about you. I'm looking down the cord of time. I've told these young men here, I need you to get ready to step up. Because my time of departure, I know, is at hand. I know I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to do what God says. And that's why I don't want you to leave here not knowing God's plan to redeem man back to himself.
Amen.
The pool is ready. We can put some water in it. You can leave here a child of God. And guess what he does? He washes away all of your sins. When I heard that, I told him, take me to the water.
Yes, sir.
You're going to forgive me of all that mess I've done?
Yes.
All that dirt that I've done? All them folks I misused and abused? You're going to forgive me? He says, your sins and iniquities, I'll remember them no more.
Amen.
I want to encourage you. Thank you for just coming and just allowing us to share with you the love that comes from God. If you're here, you might stand in need. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing.